Bible. I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I'm a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
All right,
John 10 and 10,
we're in a brand new series
entitled Live to Give.
Everybody say live
to give.
All right, and so
it's the will of God
that we be generous
because we serve a
generous God.
The Bible says,
for God so loved the
world that he did what?
He gave his
only begotten son.
So God
gave his very best,
and because
we serve God,
it's only right
that that
we give him
our very best.
And it's in
the area of
giving, sometimes it
ruffles a lot of people's
feathers. It really doesn't
ruffle my feathers to
teach on it, because
I realize
that giving
is not a game. It's
God's plan
to prosper our lives,
and it's something that we need
to learn. For
where man's treasure
is, there is his
heart also.
So the Bible
teaches us that
our
money is really tied
to our heart.
So you can look
at your bank account and
tell where your heart is.
Does that make sense?
And so
John 10 and 10,
we'll put it up on the screen.
It says, for the thief cometh
not, but for to steal,
to kill, and
to destroy.
Jesus
says, I am come
that they may have
life,
and that they might have it
more abundantly.
And the Amplified, it says,
to the full,
till it overflows.
And so several
years ago,
I was at a very
low point in my
life. I was
living for God, living
holy, and those kind of
things, but I was not
really seeing
results.
Any big dreamers
in the house? Like, I'm a
big dreamer. I just believe
God for big things.
I mean, even when I
was little, I just
believe that
if he's
as big as everybody
says he is, and I
believe it, then he'll do
some big things in my
life. And so,
you know,
I've always been a
big dreamer. And so
we were at a low point
in our lives, and
I just was not
experiencing what
I wanted to experience in life.
I would read
scriptures like John
10 and 10, where he said
he came to give me an abundant
life, but I wasn't
experiencing an
abundant life. I would
read scriptures
like 3 John 2,
beloved, I wish above all
things that you prosper
and be in health
even as your soul
prospers, but I wasn't
experiencing,
you know,
prosperity at that
level. And I
just had questions.
And as I
began to seek God,
I began to learn
that the Bible was
full of prophecy, promises,
and principles. And
for every prophecy, for
every promise, and
for every principle, that
there was a faith
process
to bring it to pass.
I was
amazed to
learn as a young
man, 20
years old,
that the will of
God was not automatic,
that
he needed my
permission and
my participation
to usher
his will into my
life. So in other
words, I was
finding out at this
moment that
even though
this is what God's
word says,
and it is
true,
I had a part to play
in it.
And so I begin
to learn
these things, and
I begin to learn
the principle of giving
that
radically changed
my life. And when
it comes to giving,
you really have to
overcome false
beliefs. Everybody say
false beliefs.
When you begin to
talk about false beliefs,
false beliefs
are
thought patterns that are
contrary
to the express
will of God
that hinder and
cripple
the believer's
decision-making
process. And
when it comes to giving,
there's a lot of
false beliefs. There's a
lot of things people
say, you don't need to
do this and you don't
need to do that.
And so
it is a
thought
pattern that is
contrary
or goes against
the express
will of God. And
we understand that
his will is his
word. So it's
thought patterns that go
against what God's word
actually teaches us.
And because,
watch this now,
you get these
thought patterns that go
against God's word,
it pushes you
to do the wrong thing
instead of the
right thing, which
hinders and cripples
the believer's
decision-making process.
And so,
you know,
people will tell
you stuff like,
I wouldn't listen to all that.
You know what
your Bible says,
money is the root of all
evil. The Bible
does not say anything
about money being the
root of all evil.
The Bible says
that the love
of money
is the root of
all evil,
because we need
money to function
and operate in this
earth. You got it?
I don't know about you,
but I don't think
City of New Bern is going to
take a little note
from me saying Jesus
paid it all, right?
Like,
they want these monies, right?
Yeah,
and so
we've got to, you know,
do that. You
may have heard somebody say,
all a preacher wants
is your
money, right?
And so, but
these are just false
beliefs
that people
make up in
their mind. And when
you're really trying to go
somewhere in God,
and you're really
trying to go to the next
level, you got
to stay away from
people that have
what we call stinking
thinking. You understand?
People that
they don't want to
go anywhere in
life.
They're not
trying to make any
moves. They're
like, I'm just happy,
you know,
like where I am.
And if they see you
trying to go somewhere,
they want to pull you
back down. Like,
we call that the
crab mentality.
Have you ever seen a
bucket of crabs?
One crab realizes,
man, I can really
get up out of here.
And the crab
gets to the top of
the bucket.
And what do the other
crabs do? They
pull them all back down,
right? And
so you've got to learn
how to quit hanging
out with turkeys when
you can fly with eagles.
Does that make sense?
All right, well,
if you're going to clap, give me a
good one now.
All right,
so I'm learning this
principle in tough times.
Everybody say tough times.
I was in the Marine Corps doing very, very well. You know, and people laugh, but I'm serious. Like, if I'd have stayed in the Marine Corps, I'd have been the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. Like, no doubt, I know I would have been. I'm just that guy. You understand what I'm saying? I only got out because God told me to, and I couldn't even understand it because I was excelling so quickly, you know, at that time. Now I understand why he wanted me to get out, you know, but I didn't back in those days. And so my last year of the Marine Corps, I landed this job. I worked hard for it, and, you know, landed this job working on base, making like, I don't know, it was a long time ago. I think it was like $25 or $27 an hour. And that was back in 1999. How many know back in 1999, $27 an hour was a lot of money? How many know today $27 is a lot of money, right? And so bottom line, you know, I couldn't work the job because they put me on third shift. My body does not sleep in the daytime. My body has an internal clock that says when it's 10, 11 o'clock at night, you go to bed at night. So I couldn't get it to switch. Went to tell the boss that I was going to quit. He could not believe it. He told me I was making a mistake, those kind of things. He gave me an idea and says, listen, you're a smart guy. You can get your job done probably in 3 to 4 hours. So you can sleep the other 3 or 4 hours. But just make sure that you're awake by the time the morning supervisor comes. And he thought that was a good plan. He was surprised when I told him that was not a good plan. I told him that I serve a God who honors something called integrity. And to the degree I do it God's way, I would get God results in my life. So I left a job making like $27 an hour. And the only job I could find was a job on Gum Branch Road in Jacksonville, across from Jacksonville High School, working in the afternoon with teenagers from Jacksonville High School. At a company called Ecom, making $6.25 an hour. You got it. That's what I said, you know. And so most frustrating time of my life, because those kids, all they want to do is play. I am a leader of Marines. You understand what I'm saying? It just wasn't working for me. And so, and this is a lesson that I take across the country when I go and teach. And, you know, I've had people tell me, I wouldn't have went making those $6.25 an hour. No, I understood that some money was better than no money. And if I was faithful in that which was least, God could bless me with a whole lot more. Does that make sense? And so I just begin to work this process. And as I begin to work this process, my pastor had started this lesson on giving. And then my man of God didn't teach a series for 2 weeks. He didn't teach a series for 6 weeks. He didn't teach a series for 8 weeks. He taught a series for 12 weeks, 3 months, and 3 and a half. That's just, you know, but I'm not mad about that because evidently I needed it in my life. Does that make sense? And so he began to teach on giving. I remember one Sunday, he gets up and says, guess what we're going to teach again? I'm like, we already know. Like, everybody in the room knows. And so, but one day during that series, the light bulb really went on for me. Illumination really came, and I really began to put it all together, you know, from an internal conviction faith standpoint. I knew giving was right. I grew up in a Christian home, but I'm talking about from an internal conviction faith thing on the inside that, no, I really need to do this. And so, you know, we would pay our tithes off our $6.25 an hour. Lady was working a job. I don't know how much you were making at that, what you call that? Yeah, travel agency, you were making some money. $8.25, yeah. So we wouldn't make $8.25 plus $6.25 is not a lot of money. And so we weren't making much money. We only had one car. And brothers, if you only have one car, the wife drives the car. You got it. Well, what'd you do, Pastor? I walked to work. That's what I did. I walked to work. There was days I walked and it was raining outside. That's just what I did. And you know, but I begin to work the word at that tough time in my life. So we'd give our tithes and offerings off $6.25 an hour, you know, and those kind of things. And as we did, you know, we did it in faith. You got it. We begin to see God do amazing things in our life. The Bible talks in the book of Malachi. He says, when you give, it's the only place in the Bible says you can prove God or put God to the test. He says, prove me and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there might not be room enough to receive. And when you begin to understand the windows of heaven, those are not literal windows that are in heaven that he dumps out $100 bills. You got it. It has to do with insight and opportunity and favor and inspired ideas and these kind of things. And, you know, I went and bought this bread truck and I cut a hole in the side and went to Lowe's and put a window on it. And then I got some spray paint while I was at Lowe's. And, I took the hubcap and made one orange and made one green and made one red or something like that. And, you know, and I got some acrylic paint while I was there and couldn't go to a graphic artist. So I took my wife's round baking pans and I put them on the side of this truck. And with the pencil, I went all the way around it. And then I took the black paint and outlined it. And then I painted, you know, on the inside. That's what it looked like. I was making me an ice cream truck. And I was doing the best I could with what I had. right? And that ice cream truck, I said, if faith works, I'm going to learn how to work faith right here on this ice cream truck. I'm selling ice cream sandwiches for 65 cents. I'm selling popsicles for, 25 cents. I'm selling, Nutty Buddies. It's not high dollar stuff, except them Choco Tacos. Them Choco Tacos were expensive. But no, not many people bought those Choco Tacos. And so anyways, I worked my faith till I was making a couple $1,000 a week on an ice cream truck driving through the neighborhood with my little bell. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. All because I believed that it was possible for me. You got it. I didn't limit myself. I talked to other ice cream guys. What do you make? The guy said, I'll probably, clear about, $400 a week and that kind of thing. But see, that wasn't enough for me. But I didn't give up the truck. I just believed that God was greater than the $400. And to the degree I worked that thing, that God would do amazing things in my life. And so as we're working this process, now I'm getting more and I'm giving more. I mean, my wife and I, we've always been generous. We just believe in that. And so then favor showed up. And I walked into a door that in the natural I should not have walked into. But favor got me in this door. This guy told me he was going to help me. And he didn't even know why he was helping me. But how many know I knew why he was helping me? And I was gotten into this business, and it had to do with the government and contracts and, and waiting on money. I don't really want to get that far into what it was all about. And so we're starting to get into it, but we're not getting paid. So now I'm trying to take ice cream truck money to pay for me, and they're trying to pay for the business and, working this thing. And so on Saturdays, I would work half of the city, come home, plug up the ice cream truck, plug up the freezer so it could kind of cool down. And then, I would, go in the house, get me a sandwich. Y'all know what a sandwich is, right? Okay. And then I would do those kind of things. And then, my job has always been to check the mailbox. Like, to this day, my job is to check the mailbox. I can go on a ministry trip for 4 days and come back, and guess where the mail is going to be? Inside the mail receptacle. It's my job to check the mailbox. So this day, I check the mailbox, right? And when I go and check the mailbox, I've been waiting on something, and I saw a check, an envelope with a little window in it with a blue background. I said, this has got to be it. You got it? And I opened the check, and it was a check for like $30,000. How many know I did not go back on the ice cream truck that day? But I did keep the ice cream truck, and I continued to work the ice cream truck. Right? I don't believe in this giving up this job. I'm going to give up this job and go find me another one. No, you go find you one first. And then when you get the new one, let them know, hey, I need 2 weeks because I'm a person of integrity. And then I'm going to go back and let them know, don't burn bridges. Do things the right way. Watch this. God honors integrity. If you do it his way, you'll get his results. And so bottom line, because I don't want to keep going, but open these businesses, my wife and I, and we went from making that $6.25 an hour over time to making $2.7 million every single year. Watch this. Before you clap, because I know you want to, but no degree, and I believe in degrees, and my kids are going to get them. You got it. But I have to help people that maybe if you don't have one or you didn't have the opportunity that you thought you were going to have or you didn't get this. No. I didn't have a degree. I didn't have anybody really doing anything for me. But I had, watch this, simple obedience for me to work this word, and the supernatural favor of God came upon me and blessed me in ways that you could not imagine. Does that make sense? So I want to share with you quickly three things that I learned in my life as it relates to giving. All right. All right. Let's put number one up on the screen. All right. Now, I do want to say something. You can keep number one up there. But all of this happened before I ever started pastoring. And the reason I want you to know this is because somebody said, oh, yeah, it's easy for him to talk because he up there and people just giving him the money. First of all, church don't even work like that. But anyways, I don't want to get into that. No, I want you to know this happened when I was sitting where you were sitting. And I need you to know that God is no respecter of persons. He's only a respecter of faith. So in principle, for what he does for one, he will do for the other. Does that make sense? All right. So now let's do number one. Everybody say number one. Number one, the first thing I learned is I learned that giving was God's plan, that it was not a man's plan, that it was not my pastor's plan. You got it. It was something that you read in just some book somewhere, but giving was God's plan. You always hear me say giving is not a Giving is not a game. Even though you might have seen people play it in other places, it does not take away from the fact that it is not a game. It is God's plan to prosper our lives. And to the degree that we do it on purpose, out of principle, we will see amazing things happen in our lives. Genesis, the 8th chapter and the 22nd verse teaches us that while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease or shall not stop. So the Bible teaches that in life there's going to be some constants or some consistencies, and one of them is seed time and harvest. harvest. And if you really want to live for God and do it His way, you're going to have to realize that I need to work this principle in my life. Because giving is not just about getting money back. See, because if that was the case, then people that were rich through business, they wouldn't need to give. Because if giving was just about getting money back, no, giving puts me in covenant with God. So when giving puts me in covenant with God, God makes this agreement with me, you understand? And it's not just based on just my finances, but this covenant with God that God is going to take care of me in every area of my life. So with my children, with my health, with my marriage, with my money, with every area of my life, God commits that He's going to take care of me. Does that make sense? All right. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8 says, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly, and he who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. That makes sense, right? Verse 7 says, let each one give as he is made up in his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, because God doesn't want you to do it because pastor forced you to. Or because he forced you to. Because giving is a matter of the heart. The Dream Girls had their breakfast yesterday, and y'all were calling me on the phone, and you know, why are y'all calling? Because we want the blessing. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. But the thing about it is, you know, lady came up with that morning before she walked and said, I got a good idea for a game. You got it. And so the reason I was able to get in agreement, watch this now, is because I love to give. I love to be generous. Watch this. And so when I did it, it was a matter of the heart. It wasn't grudging, like, here they call me again. I wish the lady would quit calling me. I'm about to text her on the side and say, don't call me no more. They're not getting no more of my money. You got, No. I understand that giving is a matter of the heart. So the reason I gave is because I loved all those ladies and I want it to be a blessing to somebody. Does that make sense? All right. So, the Bible says, for God loves, he takes pleasure in. You need to understand this. He loves, takes pleasure in, and prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without what? A cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver. Watch this now. Whose heart is in his giving. And so I talk about a lot of times that the Bible is full of prophecy, promises, and principles. And so a lot of times in Scripture, when you read a principle, you'll see the promise behind it. I'll give you an example. A principle teaches us that I need to be willing and obedient. The promise is that you'll eat the good of the land. Principle says I need to obey and serve him. The promise is you'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. The principle here teaches me that I need to give, watch this, purpose in my own heart to give, not grudgingly. Be generous, do it God's way. And the promise in verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you, how, class, in abundance, so that ye may always, under all circumstances, and whatever the need be, self-sufficient. I want you to get that word self-sufficient in your mind, because it is the will of God for you to be self-sufficient. All right. What is self-sufficient? It tells us possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. In other words, God wants you to have enough for you. He wants you to have enough for somebody else and still have a grip left over. Y'all know what a grip is, right? Yeah. And that's God's will for your life. For you to be able to pay all your bills, save some money, and then be a blessing to somebody else. And if you decide, man, I want to take my family to Disney World so we can go see Mickey, you can just go do what you got to do and pay for it in cash, go enjoy the trip, and come back. That is the will of God for your life. And even if you're not there now, you can get to it. Does that make sense? That's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it. See, God is looking for channels he can flow through. If he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. That's again, if he can, you know, people bless me, I bless other people. People bless me, I bless other people. So God always gets it to me because he knows he can get it through me. If you're not careful, you imagine with that first $30,000 check that Lady LaConte and I got, we're putting this in the bank, we ain't telling nobody. We keeping this money. You know, we didn't do that. No. We paid our tithes, we prayed our offering. I went and saw my man of God. I gave him the biggest check I had ever given him in my life. You got it? You know, because I learned a principle that there's a grace that is on my man of God's life. And to the degree that I honor him and sow into his life, same grace on him would begin to get on me. You got it? And so I began to learn. I used to wash his cars. I used to cut his grass. I mean, it'd be 110 degrees. I couldn't get nobody else at the church to help me. But that's okay. And people thought I was crazy. They thought I was sucking up. They thought I was a doflunky. But what they didn't know is I found a principle in the word of God, and to the degree I sacrificed, it was going to set in motion the supernatural power of God. They was laughing, but they ain't laughing at me anymore. Yeah. And so I learned this principle, and it radically changed my life. Matter of fact, I remember one time when I when we finally started doing really, really well. It was so funny because we were doing good. This is crazy. We were making so much money, and we were giving money away. We would find like someone who had just bought a house, and we'd be like, "We're gonna pay for your living room furniture and your dining room, and get you some nice bedroom furniture. Just let me know how much it was." Right? We would be doing this. We're paying folks light bills, buying people cars, you know, and things like that. And in the beginning, we were still living in a house that we was renting. And and Pastor Taylor said, "You know, Mac, you're doing well now. You go buy yourself your own house." I said, "Oh, I sure can." And went and bought me a nice house. But watch this. My heart was not about what I could do for me. It was about what I could do for somebody else. But thank God for a good man of God that helped bring balance to what was going on in my life. You got it. We were still driving an old car at the beginning. And then I remember a lady coming. I still remember. She said, "Babe, I think it's time." I said, "Time for what?" She said, "I think it's time and we can go get us a new car now." And I said, "Show, you're right." You understand? And so I love to be a blessing. I love to be a blessing. There's not a week that goes by where personally Lady LaConte and I are not a blessing. We just love doing this. When we got to where we were trying to get to go, and brothers, I need you to hear me. And don't be mad at me. When we got, that's when y'all were supposed to laugh, but you didn't, so it's okay. It's okay. So when we got to where we were going, I made it up in my mind that, you know, I was gonna give Lady anything she wanted. Like within my means, anything she wanted. Why would you say that? Because all those years on a Friday, she'd come home and give me her check. She could never spend her check. Not that I force her. You understand what I'm saying? I wouldn't mean to. Like, we were in agreement. This is all we got. We're going to put it in the pot. We're going to pay everything. And if there's $127 left over the next Friday, we're just going to live off of that. And we went to Church's Chicken. That was our date night. They got them $1.99 and $2.99 chicken dinners with the honey biscuit. And the honey biscuit was the will of God. You understand what I'm saying? Like that was because, you know, and the reason I liked it so much with the honey, why are you so big on the honey biscuit? Because that was dessert. You understand what I'm saying? So I got me a meal and dessert. But when she needed to get her nails done, she never went to the nail shop. She would go to Dollar General and, you know, and Dollar Store and get that nail polish remover that smelled the whole house up, you know, and those kind of things. That's what she did. She had a desire to go, but I told her, "Baby, one day you're going to go whenever you want to go. It ain't now. It wasn't a year after. It wasn't a year after that, but it wasn't too long after that." You got it, you know, and she didn't really go get her hair done that much. You got it. I remember days, her sister Velvet, when she needed a perm, would come over, burn her hair all up. You understand? But we was working with what we had, and we had joy and faith that God was going to take us from where we were to where we need to be. And that's why, Doc, when I buy my wife a car, I don't care about nobody talking about me and him. That don't bother me. You don't know what we went through to get to where we are. Isn't that right? Yeah. So I remember she won this Navigator. Navigators came out with this big, add 5 minutes on the clock. Can I get five more minutes? All right. Who give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20. No, I'm just add 5 minutes on the clock. All right. So what happened was this Navigator came out, this years ago, when they had the big grill across the front. That was, oh man, that's going 16 years ago. And so anyway, she wanted one. So I went down there and I bought her one. And so that was one of the rare days we left on a Sunday, because our pastor did not believe that you should miss a church on Sunday. Like if we were going on a 7-day cruise, I'd tell him, "Pastor, we're going on a 7-day cruise. He said, "Okay, I'll see you next Sunday." We going on a 7-day cruise. You got it? But most of the time, we never miss on Sundays because that was his thing, and hey, no problem. I wanted to honor him as much as I can, but this is one of the rare days. Now, Pastor, don't believe in that. You need to go away on vacation. You go see Mickey. You're going to come back the next Sunday. You understand what I'm saying? But we didn't have electronic giving back in those days, and so I went by the church, you know, because not trying to be funny, our tithes and offerings were very big, and we gave it every week, so I didn't want to be on vacation and not make sure that I gave my tithes and offering, because giving puts me in covenant with God. So I pull up, you know, to go and give it to the pastor, to my pastor before I left, and I pulled up in her Navigator that I had just bought for her, and now he's an old country boy from Georgia, you understand? So he looks out, and I see this big old grin on his face, and he comes out of the door, and he says, "What you say?" and kicks his leg up just like that, right? And so he was walking around that truck, and he was looking, he was so happy about the truck. And it feels good when you can find somebody that's happy when you get blessed. Because we live in a day and time, you can't tell everybody when you get something because people are always getting mad. Forgetting that if God is blessing your neighbor, he's in the neighborhood. So it blessed me so much. We're on 95 heading to where we need to head. And then I was so blessed by it. I said to my wife, I said, we ought to buy him a navigator. She's like, okay. So I pick up the phone. I call Gary. The reason I'm giving you names and addresses because these are testimonies, not testifonies. You could check these out. Gary works at Lejeune Lincoln. I don't know if he does anymore. You got it? And I call him and say, hey, Gary, do you have another Lincoln just like mine, another Navigator? He said, yeah, is everything okay? I said, oh, everything's fine. I said, man, I went by the church to pay my tithes and offering. He didn't understand that. And I said, my pastor loves it so much, I want to buy him one just like I bought me. But, Larry, I want to pay cash for it. So if you can just hold it till I come back. I'll be back in a week, and I'll pay cash for it. So just put it aside. How many know he did not understand that? But it didn't matter that he didn't understand it. I came back, bought him the Navigator, presented it to him that next Sunday. Y'all want to see a picture of what it looks like? That's the Navigator that I bought my man. Brand new, $54,000. Why are you telling me all this? Because this young guy was at a point where he chose integrity over doing the wrong thing and sleeping, making $25, $27 an hour, and chose to take a job at $6.25 with no education, you know, no degree or anything like that, but I trusted God. And God took me from that to amazing places in my life and caused me, watch this, to be able to be a blessing to other people. Your story might not be exactly like my story, so I'm not trying to say you have to size up and do what I'm doing. What I'm saying is whatever is in your heart that you want God to do in your life, that God is able to do it in your life. Does that make sense? All right. Everybody say number two. Number two, I learned that I must give consistently even when it's not ideal. We must understand that waiting for everything to be right in our life to give and become a good steward will always cause delay and disobedience. Delayed giving always equals a deferred harvest. So tough times are really no excuse not to give, but it's actually the reason that we should give. Go with me to Genesis, the 26th chapter and the first verse. Genesis 26:1, there it is on the screen. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of Philistine, unto Gerar. Now we're going to drop down to verse 12. Watch this. Then Isaac sold where, class? In that land. What land? The land where there was a famine. And so in tough times he gave, but he received in the same year 100-fold. That's something that I pray every time I give. I said, Father, I thank you. I'm receiving in the same year 100-fold off the seed that I've sown. Right? And watch this. He received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, empowered him to prosper, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. That is why I tell people when it comes to giving, he's not trying to get something from you, he's trying to get something to you. Sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God. It gets God's attention and it causes him to move. Now let me help you. This is not a negative statement, but giving can be difficult. Oh, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. That's not what the Bible said. No. It can. Put my first one up on the screen. Giving, letter A, please. Giving can be difficult. It's difficult to give when my plan to have is valued above my confidence in God's plan. So I must have confidence that God's plan will work better than mine. I must have confidence that I'll work, that I can live better off the 90 supernaturally than off the 100 unsupernaturally. Can you say unsupernaturally? All right, letter B, please. It is difficult to give when I feel my needs and desires will be jeopardized if I obey. So I can't see giving as losing, but rather gaining. Letter C. It is difficult to give when it looks like God is better to others than he is to me. Why are you comparing yourself to somebody else? Everything's a process. If he's blessing your neighbor, he's in the neighborhood. Go through your process and watch God bless you. Letter D, it is difficult when I allow others to dump their doubt and unbelief on me. Well, giving never worked for me. I believe it. I do. Because you didn't intentionally release faith for it. Yeah, God, I'll give the tithe for 1 month. But if I don't see what he's talking about, that supernatural woman, I'm going to keep my money. Will you just go ahead and keep it? Because giving is not a game. And God's really not after your money as much as he is your heart. Does that make sense? All right. All right, last thing I learned, number three, I learned that I had to trust God as my source because his hands were bigger than mine. It's like the man that goes to the river and he gets the pail and he brings it home, pail full of water, and over the next couple days, the water begins to diminish. They're using it to wash and these kind of things. As the water diminishes, he doesn't get upset. He doesn't get frustrated because he knows where what he got came from. He can go right back to the river. He can go right back to the source. Well, when you learn to live out of God's hands, when what you have on hand gets lower than what you want it to be, you don't have to get frustrated. You don't have to fuss with your spouse. You don't have to get mad. You got it? Because you know you can go right back. You can go right back to where it came from. You can go right back to the river, Jehovah Jireh, right back to the source, and God will replenish you. Does that make sense? All right. So you got to choose to start living out of God's hands because his hands are bigger than yours. Everybody say his hands are bigger than mine. Okay. So I got 2 minutes and 56 seconds left. I got two stories. I'm gonna tell those to you next week. All right. And so what I want to do is faith comes how, but faith is released how. All right. So I got a confession that we're gonna make, and I'm gonna teach on giving for at least 3 weeks. So we're gonna make this confession this Sunday. We're gonna make it next Sunday. We're gonna make it the Sunday after that. And it's my prayer that as you make it, the more you make it, the more it becomes real, and the more of a conviction it takes place on the inside of you. So y'all want to make this confession? All right, so let's stand all over the building. We're going to make this confession. Now, I don't want y'all to go anywhere. I don't want you to move because I'm not done. After the confession, you're going to sit back down because we still have to do our appeals because, you know, somebody in the room going to get saved today. Somebody in the room going to rededicate their life to Jesus. Somebody going to join this church today. Happens every week. Amen? So we're going to make this confession. And yeah, I want, you know, you know me, say it bold, say it strong, but it's not so much about a feeling as much as it is about my faith, all right? So I want everyone to repeat after me. Y'all ready? All right, here we go. Everybody say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over my finances. I thank you for wisdom and revelation knowledge to bring me to a no-need state. Now, how many in faith for a no-need state in Jesus' name? That means all my needs are met according to heaven's best, that God's taking care of me, all right? Repeat after me. I refuse to walk in fear, and I commit to be a consistent tither and offering giver. I dispatch my angels to go and bring all the money and resources I need to make an impact in this earth and live an amazing life. I choose to be generous all the days of my life. I declare a shift is taking place in my financial situation. I thank you for victory in my finances. That's a good place to thank them right there, for victory in your finances. Debts being gone, cars being paid off, you having more money in your savings account than you've ever had in your life. Okay, I said that, but listen, this ain't magical. You're going to go home and all of a sudden, you know, everything. No, everything's a process. I got to work God's plan. But what happens is when I make a move toward God, God makes a move toward me, and he puts his super on my natural. So that's why I tell people, it ain't no game. God's not magical, but he is sovereign. All right. All right, I want y'all to say this strong. From this day forward, I will only say what your word says concerning my financial situation. So I say, increase, come to me. Big checks, find your way into my hands. I declare uncommon favor. I declare unusual favor. I declare unexplainable favor in my life. I declare weapons may form, but they will not prosper. I declare I might bend, but I will not break. I declare that nothing by any means shall be able to hurt me. I declare no more distractions. I declare no more delays. I declare every assignment from the enemy has been halted. I declare the winds of change are blowing in my direction. I declare things are shifting and shaking in the spirit realm.
with my name on it. I decree total and complete financial freedom belong to me. Now shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. It's our time. I said it's our time. I said it's our time. You got to let God know it's your time. You got to let the devil know it's your time. You got to let negative people know it's your time. You got to let everybody know it's my time. It's my time for God's favor. It's my time to be blessed. It's my time for debt freedom. It's my time for inspired ideas. It's my time for next level. It's my time for that promotion that I've been waiting on. And if God has got to move that person and put another person in place, promotion belongs to me. Now, I know I got a little crazy, but sometimes you need to get crazy. I know I got a little radical, but sometimes you need to get a little radical. All right, let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. We're going to pray after this. But if you're just walking down the road and minding your business, and you're laughing, and hey, how y'all doing? Good to see you. You know, you ain't got a problem with nobody, right? And you just got your little child. Even if your child's older, just imagine they're still young, right? And then all of a sudden, this dude walk up on your child, like grown man, you know, starting fussing, or, you know, like, you're going to be like, hold on, wait a minute. Like, I'm not going to let you come up on my child like that. You got it? So you're going to move from, hey, how you doing? I'm blessed with the Lord and highly favored. And you're going to switch and you're going to go into fight mode. Because you're going to protect what belongs to you. What you got to understand is the devil has been trying to steal everything from you. Your joy, your peace, your marriage, your money. The Bible says that the kingdom of God suffered violence and the violent take it by force. There comes a time where you got to watch, strap up your boots and say the fight is on. Like, devil, I wasn't trying to fight you, but you want to fight, so the fight is on. And sometimes you got to get a little radical with things. So when you're in the house by yourself tonight, and it comes into your heart to say it's my time, don't just say, Father, I think it's my time in Jesus' name. I'm letting the devil know it's my time. I'm going to bed tonight, and I'm waking up, and I believe that favor is on, is showing up for me today. That I'm not going to wake up sleepy, I'm going to wake up ready to go. That, Father, I thank you that this is the day that you have made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in today. And I thank you all day long. Everybody say all day long. Peace belongs to me. Favor belongs to me. Prosperity belongs. Today is my day. It's my time. I know I'm not up for promotion for never 6 months, but God's favor is on me. And I'm open for whatever God wants to do in my life. Watch this. What am I trying to do? I'm just trying to get you in a state of expectation. Because what you expect, you will experience. So quit looking down on yourself because you made mistakes. God ain't thinking about your mistakes. Quit looking down on yourself because you didn't finish your degree. God can still do amazing things in your life. Or you didn't go to school in the first, and I'm not knocking school. I believe in education. Y'all know that. But there's a lot of us that don't have education, and so what happens is the devil tries to beat you up and make you think you can't get anywhere, and it's not true. So you got to make it up in your mind that you got to know who you are. You are fearfully and you're wonderfully made. You are a child of a king. So that means that royalty belongs to you. And so when people attack you, don't put your head down. Keep your head up. People lie on you, don't put your head down. But yeah, I know it don't feel good. I feel you. I'm there all the time. It doesn't feel good, but watch this. I don't go by my feelings. I go by my faith. My faith in a God that has made me in his image and in his likeness. My faith in a God that has already declared my end from my beginning. So winning is, watch this, winning is inevitable for me as long as I don't quit. My faith in a God who has already declared blessings. And Job 37:5 says, at God's command, amazing things happen. Wonderful things that I can't even imagine. So I'm walking in expectation. I'm thankful for what God is doing at Without Limits, but greater's coming. I'm thankful for all of you all that come here, but it won't be long till you look around and there won't be a seat in the house at the 9 or at the 11, and we'll have to start talking about going to a 1 o'clock service.
Because more people need to hear this teaching so that they can live a better life. Let's do it. Look, we're going to pray this prayer together. I was going to have you sit down, but just stay standing because I need to let you go. It's kind of getting late. So just everybody. Now, of course, I know a couple of y'all have to move. Y'all move. So when y'all hear me say everybody stay standing, you all know if you got to move, you move. Those are leaders that have to go places. But I want everyone to pray this simple prayer after me. So if you're here today and not saved, I want to give you the opportunity right now. Romans 10:9 says, all you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and that you shall be saved. If you need to rededicate your life, we'll pray the same prayer. If you're a Christian that needs to repent, we're going to pray the same prayer. If you're in this room and you want to join our church, you can do it today. There's a connection card located in the seat pocket in front of you. And if you're going to get saved, if you're going to rededicate your life, or if you're going to join this church, I want you to fill it out. But I'll talk to you about that in a few minutes. I want everyone to repeat this simple prayer. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me